So tonight, we're going to chat a little bit around, we're talking Father's Day. I love each year to talk about, you know, actually I talked to somebody this morning and they said it was so great to be in a church that where we talked about Father's Day. They said they've been in churches for years and often it's just not even recognized or talked about. It's too awkward or painful. And so I love us to recognize Mother's Day, Father's Day. You're like, what about Kids' Day? Every other day is Kids' Day, okay, you guys? If you're a kid and not, it's just your day. But so in that sense, and part of the reason I love to do that is for three things, okay, three things. One is because I just want to help those of us who are dads and who are on the dad journey to just be constantly improving and become better. I just feel like it's, Billy Graham made this statement that one of the most underrated things on the planet is just good dads. And so we need good dads. And so I want C3 Powerhouse to be a culture where we're helping create good dads. Not perfect dads, none of us are perfect, but good dads and improving all the time. So that's the first reason. Number two is I want to actually help people connect with our Heavenly Father, the perfect dad. That's kind of the reason. In all of our weaknesses and gaps, ultimately, He is the perfect dad. And the ultimate goal is to help people to connect with our Heavenly Father. And then the third thing and the third reason is many of us and pretty all of us, our fathers had gaps or they were toxic and we've been wounded. And so if we don't talk about it, those wounds actually fester. Time doesn't heal all wounds. That's a lie. Time plus truth plus the love of God plus the right atmosphere, that's what heals wounds. And so we want to be in an atmosphere that we can grow and be healed. And so, I'm going to talk to Pastor Josh about his journey of Father's Days and he'll be vulnerable for us, which will be powerful. So today, I'm not going to ask you, but for some people have got good, really good dads with gaps. Some people have got okay dads, but some people have had quite toxic dads. And we're going to acknowledge that and we're going to work out how do we process forward or absent dad. So can you welcome Pastor Josh up, everybody, as we have a conversation together. Hello, Pastor Josh.
Hello.
How are you going?
Good.
Good to see you.
Happy Father's Day, Pastor John.
Thank you. Happy Father's Day to
Let's
you.
Let's honor the spiritual dad of C3 Powerhouse.
Thank you. You're a dad of 5 years, Josh.
Yes.
Tell me what one of the favorite things that you enjoy about being a dad.
Oh, so many things. I love my little people. Yes. I call them my little people.
Your little people.
My minions.
You had one up here.
Yes.
Abby, she told a joke about having lots of problems. I hope that wasn't an insight.
Yeah, I don't know where she learned that joke. It wasn't from me. But look, in this current season, I'm loving the rough and tumble.
Right.
So my son's two and, I get him like a football and throw him across the bed.
Awesome.
And he giggling, think it's the best thing. He comes in and is like, more.
Yeah.
And then Abby,
she's five.
She jumped off the couch the other day onto my head. I was laying on the floor.
Oh.
And it really hurt, but I was like really impressed at the same time.
You can't be angry about
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So it's,
But
the rough and tumble's fun.
Love it.
But love the sweet moments. Like, yep. My little girl, she's writing me heaps of love notes at the moment.
Aww.
And cuddles before bed. And
so sweet.
Just all the little sweet chatty moments that you have. It's
really
it's
cool.
Awesome.
Fantastic. Now, we're going to have a conversation. So we may go one for one or we might do follow-up questions. So I'm going to let you ask anything you want as well, Josh.
I reckon like dad shockers is always a good one.
Dad shockers. Oh, so many. I think
the danger of like a conversation or like a weekend like this is like, expectations for dad get pushed higher.
Yeah.
And you're an amazing dad. I feel like I'm doing an okay job. I'm getting going,
Sure.
But
we should have my kids up to talk about my dad shockers. But that was just kidding. No, you stay there, Gemma. That's okay. So look, lots of shockers.
Yeah.
Lots of shockers. Picking my kids up late from school when I was on would be one. I probably got an hour and a half late one time. Yeah, I wouldn't say I forgot about them.
What was the reason you forgot, though?
No, I was just busy.
Oh, you're just busy.
Had stuff on. So I've definitely done that. I once said something to one of my sons that I regret. And I just like, where did we go wrong? I just should never have said it. I don't know why. I was like, it was just going through a whole lot of pain thing. And I was kind of like, what have I done? What is there something? But I just, he remembers that. Where did I go wrong? Sorry, son.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
That's a deeper level shocker. We can laugh about it now.
Yeah, yeah.
I've apologized.
It's good.
Plenty of reasons to apologize.
Yeah.
Oh, look. What other shockers? Probably giving my kids matches when they were little, letting them drive around back streets, all sorts of stuff.
Is that what caused the house fire?
All that sort of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, no, okay, cool. The truth.
That stuff.
Yeah, I had a shocker yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, I accidentally closed the fridge door on my son's head.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I was
that sounded like a setup for a dad joke.
Yeah, yeah, literally. I opened the fridge to do something. Abby, my daughter said something. I turned. And I didn't realize he was behind me. He came in for snacks and I just shut the door on his head.
Okay.
So, All right. Yeah.
Told him to cool off a bit.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right.
On fire.
Okay. It's just a skill. You grow in it over the years, just how it rolls.
So things like that. It's great.
Okay.
It's awesome.
Fantastic. Hey, it is true. So one of the, you know, none of us are perfect dads. We all, at church, we, you know, and particularly for us, we're talking and we're on our best behavior, but you can talk to our kids. We got gaps. So I want to talk a bit about what is a dad, what is the role of a dad, all right? What is the role of a dad? I preached about this morning. You can go and listen to the message. I'm going to put up some things here, Josh. Maybe we'll bounce around them a little bit.
Sure.
A father's role. Mm-hmm. This is sort of, I guess, a compilation I put together of what God has designed dads for. Because the way God's created family is to have a dad and a mom. That's his best design. Doesn't always work out exactly like that, but that's the way God created us. And so fathers have a particular role and mothers have a particular role. And when it goes well, it's the bedrock of family and society. Now, it doesn't always go well, but that's the way it's designed.
Yeah.
There are things that dads will do that mums won't do. Dads tend to be more risk takers. Dads tend to be, you know, tend to be the ones who go, oh, they'll be fine. It'll be all good until it's not. But that's kind of our vibe. So I just wrote this. One is a role of dad. It's to reflect our Heavenly Father, to demonstrate love, to give identity and affirmation, to train and to guide, to provide and to protect and to model godliness. So What jumps out at you there, Josh, of those ones? Does anything particularly jumps out at you?
Look, I got a little girl who's 5.
Yes.
And definitely, like in all different seasons of parenting, or I'm only 5 years in and I'm already recognizing that you have to change the game plan quite regularly.
Right.
And so giving identity and affirmation, I'm noticing with my daughter is a significant thing in our current season. I don't think it will change, but I don't know anything.
Yeah. Well, I think that the first, what's called the formative years in parenting, it's like that first 7 years or so, and different experts will say different amounts of time, but that first 7 years is a massive time of formation of the soul of a kid.
Yes.
Like that, there's so much that happens in that first 7 years.
Yeah.
So tell us, what are the sort of things you're doing for her?
Well, we've started daddy-daughter dates.
Come on.
So we go to our local cafe.
Yes.
She gets a milkshake and a cookie pie.
Hey.
And we share that and talk. And really what I'm trying to do in that moment is that I value you as a
really
dad.
Really good, really good.
And that my time is important for her.
Yeah. So you're doing a couple of things there. You're demonstrating love.
Yes.
By spending time and, you know, giving her gifts and stuff. But then you're also speaking words over her. What kind of words?
Like, I love you.
Yep. Really, really important.
I'm proud of you.
So important.
And yeah, I've just been, God loves you as well.
Yep.
And that he's got a great plan for you.
I love that.
And yeah, like she's becoming her own little personality.
Yes.
So calling out the good things that I'm seeing in her.
Yep.
So it's like, she's so creative.
Right.
I said, oh, you're so creative.
Right.
I love the way, you know, I love all the pictures and the dancing and the singing and, you know, so just call out the things that I'm seen in her as she's growing up.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. So identity is one thing. So identity is, hey, you're my daughter. I love you. I'm proud of you. You're beautiful. And if you've read Wild at Heart, one of the things that little girls love to hear from their dad is you're beautiful. And what little boys love to hear from dad is you've got what it takes. Yes. You're going to make it. So to kind of just to get that message into them before the world starts to strip that off, because they're going to hit a zone,
yes,
where people are going to call them names or there's going to be stuff. So we're trying to pre-protect them at that young age.
Yes.
So that's identity. And then an affirmation is exactly what you said. Affirmation is what you've done well.
Yes.
So affirmation is encouragement. So Jesus heard it from his heavenly father. This is my beloved son, identity. In whom I'm well pleased. And that's not just because he's son, that's because, hey, he's living a godly life. He's done a whole lot of things that have pleased God. So it's okay for dads, as they train and guide their kids, to go, I love you, you're amazing, you're always going to be my kid, but I'm not pleased with this behavior right now.
Yes.
So that's part of the training and guiding process.
Yeah, it's really good. It's awesome.
Awesome.
Do you want to do one, Pastor John?
Sure. What do you want me to? I'll give a couple of. We'll touch on a few just practical how to be good fathers, and then we'll kind of go in a little bit more into that journey of how do I unpack my father's imprint on my life.
I've at some point pastored all three of your children.
Sorry about that.
It's mostly been positive. Uh-huh. But. One thing that...
You are joining with me in the training and guiding process, Josh.
very much. But something that I've noticed is a theme that about how your children talk to you is really how you've modeled godliness to them.
Right.
And so I guess in... And I know that it just hasn't happened. That's been intentional decisions. Yes. I guess how have you modeled godliness to your family as your kids have grown up over the years?
Yeah, really cool. I was very fortunate to have a dad who modeled godliness to me. So my dad was a beautiful man of God, softly spoken, affectionate and warm in terms of hugs. He's a farmer. He was a missionary, like a practical farming missionary. He had me when he was 54 years old. So that's my age.
My man.
So in a lot of ways, he was kind of experienced. Which is helpful for me. He wasn't like a young dad. But other times he was called my granddad when he came to school sports, but that's a different story. So I had a really good example of a dad. So often for me, that means, and for people who've had good dads, it's a little easier to live that out. So, but I guess I've intentionally gone, okay, what do I want my kids to not just hear what I say, but because people do, they catch who you are. So I want to be slow to anger. I want to try and be calm. I mean, kids know how to push your buttons. There's no doubt about it. It's the most rewarding and most challenging role that you can have, I reckon, being a parent.
Yeah.
So I want them to hear me praying when they get up in the morning. Mm. I want them to come out to the kitchen bench, and I've always wanted this, and see me reading my Bible, not on a phone, but actually reading a physical Bible. I want them to see that God is the center of my life. I want them to see that their mom is the most important person to me, that I honor her and treat her well. I want them to see me treat people with respect, to look after the disadvantaged, to be kind to people whose life is... I want all of the things that I want from a values point of view, I have to model that. Am I perfect? No, absolutely not. Do I make mistakes? Yes. Actually, modeling saying sorry...
Mm.
Is a really important thing. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. Mm. So I think it's just it's part of what we're called to be, and not perfect. No one can be perfect.
No.
But they're watching, and they're probably going to do more of what you do than what you say.
Yes,
that's
yes.
what they're watching. They're noticing.
Yeah.
They're noticing. You said this, but you did that. what's going on here? So, yeah. So I think it's a privilege, but it's a responsibility.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I really love that thought around practicing what you preach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's one thing to say, but it's another to live it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think just even in these early years, it's like, I want to talk less and show more.
Right.
And just be a great example.
Yeah, really, really good.
Like last week, I bought Shekinah flowers.
Yes.
And they were just because flowers.
Yes.
Because I love my wife and I want to honor her.
You weren't in trouble? Wasn't an apology flowers,
Wasn't
Josh?
An apology okay, flowers. Good. Hadn't good. Forgot anything.
Okay, good.
But I just did it because like she wasn't expecting
yep.
her.
And, nice.
But it was funny. My wife was very appreciative of it. But my daughter's response was, wow, Dad.
Right.
You bought those flowers for Mum. Right. It was, you know.
Yeah. And then
so
you go,
pretty.
Your mum's so awesome. I love her so much.
Yeah.
It's
I think it's one thing to say I love Mum. It's another to show it and express it.
Yeah.
Them. So
really good.
I think it's really important. So that's awesome.
Okay. Modeling godliness. What about providing and protecting, Josh? What's your thoughts around providing and protecting for your young family? Do you have a baseball bat to keep the boys away from Abby yet?
No, this unit, it's all good.
Oh, you're good. okay. I see how it is.
No, Abby did say that a boy asked her to be her boyfriend.
No, not cool.
This is prep. I was deeply triggered.
Okay.
And that caused a conversation. The only boyfriend you're allowed is daddy in
right.
this current season.
Fantastic.
And she was actually surprisingly okay with that.
Okay.
So, which is
until
good.
You're at least 25.
Yes.
Let's go with that. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Maybe a bit more.
Yeah. really good.
But yeah, it's I guess provide, I think, is the first one. Mm-hmm. For me, it's stewarding life well, mm-hmm. I think, is really important. Mm-hmm. Like, there's the practical of providing.
Yep.
So that means doing budget
yep.
and sacrificing things so they're number one and
yep.
all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I find Shekinah and I in this great season where, like, thankfully, I provide enough so that she doesn't have to work and
right.
things like that. I don't understand not everyone's in that situation,
mm-hmm.
but I think we manage our money well so we don't stress about money.
Right.
And
that's great.
And from both myself and my wife, we come from homes that stress a lot about money.
Right.
So it's a reshaping of a generation.
Yeah.
Where it's like we feel like, hey, our kids should be able to come and ask everything,
yes.
anything
yeah.
and everything.
Yep.
They won't get everything
uh-huh.
and anything,
uh-huh.
but they should feel secure enough that,
yep.
hey, Mum and Dad have got this.
Yeah.
They're looking after
really
us.
Really good. Really, I think that, and this is a great value for our kids, is to go, we had a conversation for Father's Day yesterday with our kids who are here. We've got my oldest son's in Sydney. And he said, I love how you were filtered when we were growing up, but I love how unfiltered you've become now.
It's awesome.
And so, but what he was essentially saying is we protect you, you protect your kids from stuff while they're growing up until they're old enough. And so that means if we've got money stress, we're not talking to our kids about our money stress. It means if we've got marriage stress, we're not projecting that onto the, we're really protecting them from that. If we've got church stress, we just always made a decision. We're never, and this was modeled in my family. We're always going to talk positively about church, even if we've got some issues going on, because we want our kids to love church.
Yes.
We want our kids to love God. So to be speaking well of a lot of different things and protect them so they don't need extra stress in their life. And so then as they get older, we get a little more open and then they go, oh, my parents did that. I had a teacher who was such a pain in the butt to me, like such a pain in the butt. And my parents just taught me to honor them and to speak well of them. Years later, I found out that they thought he was a pain in the butt. I'm like, oh, I see what you did there. You didn't join and take sides with me. You basically taught me how to honor authority rather than coming down and, the whole idea of, I do see this a little bit where people are like, oh, no, I want to be friends. Like, I want to be liked by my kids. Mm. Well, being liked by your kids is a privilege that will chop and change. Mm. So ultimately, when they're over 20, they can be friends, hopefully, if we've done well with them. But up until then, we're providing love and we're training and guiding, but we're not trying to get down on their level to be their friends. That's like a privilege that comes later. We're their coach and guiding them up until that stage, so... Okay.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
Anything else you want to ask before we go a bit deeper?
Oh, look, I think the protecting thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think as a dad, we have the huge honor and privilege of being our children's safe place.
Yes.
Particularly in those younger years.
Yes.
And I think it's important to just make sure that just to make sure that you're there in those moments, mm-hmm. and to, they might be locking you out or pushing you away, yep. or anything, yep. like that, but you got to push in those moments, yep. because you want to protect.
Yes.
And I think, yeah, my little girl, she's in prep, and I can tell when she's having an off day, and it's like, hey, is everything all good? What's going on?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, no, like already you kind of get that, and you're like, no, let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. And, but if it is a real thing, it's like, no, we're going to do something about it.
Right.
We're going to, yeah. be proactive with,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, really good.
Dad's not going to be passive.
Yes.
Dad's,
yes.
not going to be like, oh, okay, yep. make excuses. It's like, no, we're going to deal with stuff,
yep.
if it comes up, because really I'm good. Your protector.
Yeah, really good. So, yeah. yeah. Atmospheres, friendships, who they hang out with, their access to devices, their access to, like, you know, the devil is trying to get his hands on our kids. That's the reality. Now, I know a lot of us aren't parents in here, but I want to pre-warn some of you, because this is, for lots of people, this is where we learn how to parent, because we might not have learned it at home. So devil's trying to get in there, and our job is to put boundaries up, and whether it's friendships or relationships, or media is a big one, the electronic babysitter, it's kind of cool to a degree.
Yeah.
But you just have to not be lazy, and not let, just go, I don't want mums and dads to let the media be the number one influence on your kids' values and mindset.
Yeah.
So we've got to kind of minimize, be careful what they watch, that it agrees with our values. And then at the same time, you be the number one value. You be the value giver and bring them to church, take them to youth as they get older, all of that stuff. So
yeah.
Anyway.
So I do want to jump on that thing, mm. that you said, is that I actually love that we're talking about it.
Right.
Some of us have such a privilege of being raised in a great Christian home, but mm-hmm. so many of us haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of those.
Right.
One of those people where I was like, this stuff just, you know, it didn't really exist.
It's a foreign language, yeah. for you.
And so church has been so powerful for me, because right. we've talked about these things.
Right.
It's helped to, when you've been brought up in dysfunction or lived in dysfunction,
right.
you don't know what normal is, because right. your dysfunction is normal.
Right.
And so to sit in church and go, no, this is how God intended
right.
it,
right.
can actually really. Help bring so much freedom and healing
really powerful.
And restoration really, in your really life. Powerful. So if you're here and you're like, I didn't get that, it's like, okay, that's cool. You can go on a God journey.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah, because there's what God's planned for us.
Yes.
And then where the enemy has, he's, you know, ripped us off. He's,
yeah.
you know, basically he's trying to ruin everybody. And so one of the key things he'll do is attack family life, right? So this is not about making anybody feel guilty that they weren't a good dad. It's not about making anybody kind of go, oh, you know, my dad sucks, I hate him. This is actually, and we'll talk about this a bit more, about going, hey, this God has plans for family. He created family. He yeah. wants to, he places children in families, yeah. but then he also places children in church families,
yes.
and, you know, as we grow up, for safety and for healing. So tell us a bit about your story then, Josh, your relationship with your dad.
Yeah, sure. So I was originally born in New Zealand, mm-hmm. In Auckland.
Yep.
My mum and dad were obviously together at that time.
Yep.
I had two younger sisters,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, quite a toxic environment. Mm-hmm. Toxic environment.
Just clarify toxic. What
yeah, so nothing directly at me, but mm-hmm. witnessed a lot of things.
Yep.
So witnessed drug abuse,
mm-hmm.
witnessed... A lot of acts of violence, mm-hmm. witnessed, was exposed to things at a young age like pornography and all,
yep.
and just, yeah, it was just right. a bad environment.
Yep. So that's all dysfunctional, just to be clear.
Yes.
That's what we would call that, a toxic environment. A little kid's supposed to be protected from that, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. and that was because of my dad and his lifestyle and the people he was connected to.
Yep.
And so, but yeah, when I was five, my parents separated.
Mm-hmm.
And my mum had sisters on the Sunshine Coast, like yep. my aunties are yep. up on the Sunshine Coast. They yep. moved here with my two sisters, and that was mum and dad separated.
Mm.
But what I didn't even understand what was going on at that time,
right.
but what that meant was that was a cut with my relationship with my dad
right.
from the age of five.
Right.
And so from the age of five for the next 20 years,
mm-hmm.
I had maybe one brief phone call with my dad.
Mm.
And that was my relationship with my dad growing up.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
And what was, you know, because in that sort of scenario, so in your formative years, there's an imprint of that on your psyche, your soul, your thinking about yourself, life and everything. And then him, that separation and him no longer being involved, did you, what did you think why he wasn't involved? Did you, was it ever explained to you? Any, was there any conversation?
Not that I can recall, mm-hmm. Around the why behind it.
Yep.
Behind it. Obviously, as you grow up and grow older, you start to put, like, you remember things and you go, okay, that wasn't good, and yep. you know, put pieces in the, put a fragmented picture together
yep. Yep.
of what life was like. So,
yeah,
on the surface level, I would often say that. Like, I'm fine.
Right.
You know, our life is better off without him.
Yep.
You know, I've done all right so far, so I don't need a dad.
Right.
You know, that was the surface level.
Yep. Yeah. That was the narrative or dialogue you kind of convinced yourself
yeah.
of.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. But underneath, there was just confusion.
Mm-hmm.
There was pain.
Mm-hmm.
There was anger.
Mm-hmm.
Underneath all that, even more, mm-hmm. was a feeling abandoned,
yep.
rejected,
yep.
Not valued.
Yep.
And, yeah, that damaged my confidence.
Yep. Yep.
Like in my primary school years,
yep.
I would say I was quite a shy, timid kid
yep.
and lacked self-confidence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then probably in my high school, or it did happen in my high school years, I swung the other way.
Right.
Where all those suppressed emotions started coming out as mm-hmm. anger.
Right.
So a lot of fighting.
Yes.
A lot of lashing out.
Yes.
A lot of started to get involved with drugs. I had friends that were doing drugs,
yep.
starting, you know, just doing all these kinds of things started
yep.
to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful at the age of 15, I got saved.
Yes.
That's when I gave my heart to God.
Yes.
Katie Heldin's coming to church in 2 weeks.
Okay, wrap it up, Josh. That's enough.
And I had a radical God encounter,
right.
which changed that where the path that I was on.
Wow.
But yeah, that was kind of everything going underneath.
Right.
But on the surface, I'm good. I'm fine.
Yeah,
I'm better off.
So, because often it's in hindsight, you look back. So now you've got 20 years later.
Yes.
And even over the years. So you've got these things. It's really interesting the way you've described it. You've got, you've convinced yourself, I'm good. Mm. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Everyone else has got this stuff. I'm fine. That's what, I'm fine, right? You've got that. And probably believed it.
Yeah,
because we like as a coping mechanism. I'm good. I'm
mm.
fine.
Mm.
And then there's some surface, what we'd say, fruit in your life,
mm.
anger.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, it can be anxiety,
mm-hmm.
Lack of self-confidence. So this is the fruit, and why?
Yeah.
And so people can have that, and then underneath it, there's a deeper kind of lie. Ultimately, mm. Lies that we believe about ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell us a bit about those lies that even though they weren't maybe, they'd be, those lies are things that bombard us.
Yes.
And they get triggered.
Mm.
We might not realize it, but that's what often makes us angry. So you talk about rejection.
Yes.
Talk about how some of those things would kind of manifest in you, even after you got saved as well, I'm guessing.
Yeah, definitely after I gave my heart to God. Yeah, I think the way that it masks, like, I just kind of put my walls up all the time.
Right.
And now, like, because I felt rejected,
mm-hmm.
I operated with this filter that, am I going to get rejected?
Right, right.
And I put my walls up, and there was a level of like, you know what, I'm not gonna
let you get close.
I'll keep you at arm's length,
right,
and keep you distant. So it developed shallow relationships,
right. Yep.
But when I felt rejected, mm-hmm. I would get really angry,
right.
Really quickly,
right.
And
0 to 100 really fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uncontrollable.
Right.
I think. And I think for me, it would be like, okay, if you're going to reject me, I'm going to really reject you.
Right.
I'm going to fight you.
Right.
And
whereas another person might go have that same rejection, but if you reject me, I'm just going to get super depressed very quickly.
Yep.
So not necessarily come out swinging. It's just a different fruit.
Yes.
Same core thing going on, right? I'm just going to hate myself.
Yeah.
Whatever it might be.
Yeah, I think not that I'm any psychologist, but there's the fight, flight,
freeze zone.
Mm-hmm. And I definitely was the fight zone.
Right.
When I got triggered or if one of those inner world buttons got pushed,
yes.
I'd definitely go on offense, not defense.
Right.
And yeah, I definitely have met people on my journey and talking about these things, and it's like when it happens, they just lock up and they don't know what to do.
Right.
Or other people, they just, they run away.
Yep.
And it's like, I'm going to avoid it altogether.
Just get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you're a fighter.
Yeah.
I can see that. I've seen that. That's awesome. What was Father's Day like for you when you, before you became a Christian?
I think I just kind of blacked it out of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's on the weekend. My family didn't go to church.
Yep.
It was just kind of like...
It was
just another weekend, you know?
So. Okay, so you come to church and we have Father's Day.
Yeah. Well,
how did you go?
Like my first Father's Day, I got triggered. I got really angry and I was like, I can't believe... I just got really triggered at the thought of just talking about dads.
Right.
Loving dads, honoring dads, all that kind of stuff. And I'm just sitting there feeling angry and rejected because my dad was none of those things and I don't want to give any of those things.
Right.
And
all
that just bubbled up.
Yeah. So you got anger, but then underneath it is this feeling of, was it my fault? What were the deeper lies going on?
Yeah, it's like I wasn't valued.
Right.
Why didn't he want me? Obviously, I wasn't good enough. Maybe something's wrong with me.
Right.
Those are all the kinds of
things. So out of that rejection, they're the lies that the devil bombards us with and we start to believe about ourselves, right? How many Father's Days did it take until you were not triggered?
I reckon it was 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
6 or 7 years.
Yep.
I think the first Father's Day, it poked that button.
Yep.
But I think it was a different Father's Day, not a different Father's Day, a guest speaker come and he talked about forgiveness in his message and he talked about the need to forgive dads.
Right.
And I think I didn't like that message either. but I think it was in that message was the first time I realized that maybe I need to go on a journey and forgive my dad.
Right.
And I reckon from that moment where I recognized I needed to forgive and go on that journey, I reckon it took me about four or five years.
Because I think, the starting point is to go to acknowledge, okay, there's something unhealthy. There's a problem.
Yeah.
My father was toxic or it was dysfunctional. I mean, all of us of dads I would call it gaps. There's things that we're not good at. But I'm talking about deeper things that are wounds, right? Generational things that go from one generation to the next.
Just to add to that, I'm so grateful for church because this is a safe place.
Right.
And so I think I'm so grateful that I could come with my mess and my wounds.
Yes.
And be okay. Be vulnerable with that.
Right.
Even though I might be slow to embracing that.
Right.
It was really good.
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage everyone in the room tonight because I just believe God's speaking to people is that if God is speaking to you, this is a safe place.
Right.
And this is a place that you'll find love and support.
Yes.
But also do business with God that brings true freedom and healing.
Yeah, yeah. Because there is healing on the other side. You might have scars. But ultimately, the wounds can be healed.
Yes, definitely.
So we start with a choice to forgive.
Yeah.
So how did you go with that? Can you remember the day you're like, okay, today I choose to forgive my dad?
Yeah, I think for me it was a decision every day for a couple of years, and where I would wake up and at some point through my day, it's I would just go, God, and I was real with it.
Yeah.
I said, this was really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But because you say I should,
yeah.
I'm choosing to forgive my dad
right.
today.
Very good.
Some days it was easier.
Yep.
Some days I felt like an imposter, like I don't mean this at all.
Right. So it's a choice, not a feeling.
But yeah, I was choosing to just like, and you know, like we talk about forgiveness a fair bit in mm-hmm. Throughout the year and bits and mm-hmm. pieces. And I just made a decision whenever there was a moment or a step, I would just take it.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, one message I heard was write a letter, burn it. Did that.
Right.
You know, I did that multiple times, you know, and it just leaned into it. If there was an altar call, I would go and, you know,
Receive
prayer for it.
Right, to respond. Because I think that there's one, forgiveness is not a feeling, it's a choice.
Yeah.
And you can have a day you go, that's the day I chose to forgive, and then I live that out every day afterwards. I'm going to keep forgiving. Now, different to forgiveness is healing. So healing is a process.
Yeah.
Forgiveness is a decision. Healing is a process of getting the pain that's in our heart and our soul and our psyche, and even it's in our DNA and genetics. Like we could be marked. Our body can be physically marked by pain and trauma. So the journey to get that out is, it doesn't, I'd love to say it's one moment on the altar. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. So did you cry early days, or did it take a while for you to get to the level of pain?
I think early days, no. Mm-hmm. I think I was... good suppressing zone.
Yep.
You know, yeah, I'm all good. Didn't need it.
You're a good suppressor.
But I think as I brought it to God daily, and as I opened up my heart
mm-hmm.
and allowed myself to feel the things that I was actually feeling underneath everything.
Right.
That is when God started to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's messy.
Right.
It's the ugly tears. It's mm-hmm. the snotty nose.
Yeah.
It's the, you know, pouring it out but it's good.
Right.
It can feel embarrassing,
mm-hmm.
but like afterwards, I would have one of those moments and I could feel it coming. I'm like, this is going to be so embarrassing. And then you have the moment and with God and it's like, man, this feels so good.
I'm
so glad I did it and I don't really care.
Yeah.
And that's the other side of freedom and healing
is
you get a peace
that
you didn't, I didn't know existed.
Yeah.
You get a love in your heart and a joy that God gives you, and it's amazing.
Right. And that's the exchange that goes on, right? The Holy Spirit's pouring God's love in, and if we let Him, He's washing the pain out.
Yeah.
And He keeps doing it, and it could take 10 years. It could take 10 years of worship and tears and altar call moments and freedom experiences, counseling and all of those things.
I think of it like layers.
Yeah.
But each layer you go deeper, the better and better life gets when you deal with it.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. What did you reach out to your dad?
Yeah, I didn't initially plan to.
Mm-hmm.
I got to a point in my forgiveness journey and even just... learning the love of God in my life
mm-hmm.
that I felt like it was done. And I felt like particularly through spiritual fathers and the love of the Father, I was whole.
Right.
I had a privilege of driving someone who was speaking at our church once, and they said, oh, you should fly to New Zealand and meet your dad. And I always had access to.
Yeah.
But particularly... just before I got married, I really felt a burden. It's like, I should go over and go meet him and have that, do that journey.
Yeah.
And I think an important thing for that, though, was I didn't expect anything from that
so
moment.
You weren't going so that this would help close something in your heart. No. You'd already done the work with God. You're just going as I'm in the right place to have this next step.
Yeah, and I've met with people that they're like, I just need to go meet with my dad right now. And I'm like, you're just going to get in a punch-up.
Yeah.
You need to chill.
Yeah.
At the start of my journey with God, that would have been me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I was just so angry and bitter.
Yeah. Or dad hasn't changed. Dad's still toxic. This is just going to pile on. So I actually need to keep some boundaries.
Yep.
Depending on how toxic the relationship was.
Yeah.
For self-protection. So forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean full restoration.
Yeah.
That's why talking to people, there's a wise journey of, do I just need to keep some boundaries up so that you're staying safe?
Yeah.
Again, depending how toxic, right?
So yeah, I went into that and I just said I didn't expect anything from that moment. Mm-hmm. And if it was good, great. And if it was bad, I would be okay. It wasn't going to derail me or anything like that. So yeah, I flew over to New Zealand, met two of my half-sisters that I'd never met before because my dad had another relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I met my dad. And yeah, I'll be honest with you, it was awkward.
Right.
You know, like when you meet someone that you're meant to have kind of had an intimate relationship with, but you don't have that intimate relationship, it's a bit awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we went out for lunch and we chatted and what I realized though is from that meeting with him is that the pain of the past and the pain of my life, from his point of view, had nothing to do with me.
Right.
Caused by him had nothing to do with me.
Right.
That I met a man that had a lot of regret.
Yeah.
Had a lot of shame.
Yeah.
Had a lot of brokenness.
Yeah.
And it was out of those things that the damage was done.
Right.
And there was a man that wanted a relationship, a man that did care, but because of his own pain, just didn't know how to.
Didn't have the tools, didn't have the emotional capacity.
Yeah, and he didn't, it's not like it wasn't like he said, like, you know, I'm so sorry or anything like that, or I forgive you. It wasn't like that, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't a big hug moment and it out.
No, but it was a moment that, I guess, though I wasn't seeking closed doors or did close a few things. I'm like, this actually had nothing to do with me.
Right. So all those lies of maybe it was my fault, maybe I wasn't good enough, it kind of helped close those down.
Yeah. It was like further breaking those off.
Mm.
And it was good. So since then, I probably speak with my dad maybe once or twice a year. And
is that usually at your initiative?
And that's my initiative. Mm-hmm. Something that God spoke to me about. It's like, you know how the Bible says, honor your mum and dad.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say if your parents are really good, honor them.
Right.
And so I just felt this, and this is what God spoke to me. It's like, he is my biological dad and I want to honor him. It's not like I was in danger or it's going to cause me to spar or anything like that, but really felt God say, honor him and just make an effort at least once or twice a year.
Yeah, good.
And they're short and sweet chats. They're short and sweet, still a little bit awkward, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful that I'm doing it.
Yeah, really good. Mm. Last question, and then we're going to pray for some people. How do you write a letter for healing? What are the key kind of things if you're like, okay, I feel God, you know, and it can be because of toxicity, it can be of dysfunction, or it can just be gaps.
Yeah.
It can just be, you know, like we put those things up there, and I had an amazing dad, and my parents gave me a great sense of identity, but never a lot of verbal affirmation.
Sure.
So that gap made me more vulnerable to bullying and a range of other things. So I still had to process that out, even though I had a really good dad.
Yeah.
And then ultimately look to a perfect father.
Yeah.
So, yeah, how would you, if someone's going to go away and write a letter this week, what would you do?
Yeah, my first thing would be it's not you. It's not something to do alone. It's something to do with the Holy Spirit.
Really good.
So I would encourage anyone writing a letter to play worship, pray in tongues, invite the Holy Spirit, invite the Holy Spirit in, and then I would just go, Holy Spirit, you know, I feel this. Can you help me write it?
Right.
And I just write it how you feel it.
Yep, yep.
Write it how you feel.
Don't try and edit it or make it clean.
I think our God who created all of us has a big enough capacity to handle all of our emotions.
Yep.
And just write it out.
Write it raw and ugly.
Raw and ugly. Mm-hmm. And then, I wept at some of those. Some I didn't. Yep. It was just like punching the paper.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
Just make sure you burn it or get rid of it.
Really good. I always encourage people to write, what are you thankful for? Because honor comes from what are you thankful for? Then what's the pain? What do you wish had done? What are specific memories you've got that
really
you have that hurt me? And then always to always finish it by, I choose to forgive you. I've made that choice.
Great.
And I'm looking to God as my Father to fill the gaps of what you didn't do.
Yeah.
So
I think another question I ask myself is, what is truth?
Yes.
So in all that writing, I would ask myself, what is truth?
Mm-hmm.
Just because your pain and your emotions can so much distort or amplify what's going on.
Yep.
And when you write it down and then just take a moment to think about it, it's like, okay, what's the crazy I feel built up in my head versus
really good.
This is really what happened. And it still might have hurt and still deal with it.
Yes.
But you want to forgive not out of a place of perception, I guess, but a place of like, this is honestly how I felt it happened.
Yeah, because this is about us getting stuff out.
Yeah.
It's not about us projecting and vomiting on dads. This is not about having a moment to go, I wrote some things about you.
Yeah.
Or, hey, I want to tell you some home truths. Or it's actually about us getting to a place where we can look at dad, smile, and want the best for them.
Yeah.
That's the journey.
Awesome.
Can you pray for us, Josh, right now? Just right, particularly for that healing journey. Let's close our eyes.
Yes, Father, I thank you that you are a loving Father. Lord, I just pray right now, even as every eye is closed, that just the love of the Father would fill this place, that would fill this atmosphere, that you would begin to just wash and fill every person with the love of the Father. And Lord, we just pray for those that have father wounds, deep wounds of pain. Lord, those who have, gaps that have caused hurt in our lives. Father, we just open up our heart to you right now. We know that there's a better way. And Lord, I just pray in this moment, Lord, that you would just pour in your love. You'd pour in your love over that pain. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, thank you, God. Sometimes the pain in our life around our dads isn't because they were toxic or dysfunctional. Sometimes they died when we were young, and so not their fault, not anyone's fault, but we've lived without dad. So, Father, I'm just praying for people who've lost their dads and therefore have missed out. I thank you. You do place the solitary in families. I thank you that church can be a family where there are spiritual dads and love. But ultimately, it's your love that fills our heart. So I pray you'd fill every heart with your peace and your presence. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together for Pastor Josh. Thank you for articulating that so beautifully. Really, really powerful.